Try this again. Good morning again.
Good morning.
It's sometimes enlightening to see there that North American missions is not just us. We're not, America is not North America, so that was in Canada. So your money given to North American missions is widespread, and it touches a lot of people's lives. So continue to pray and to give. We'll be in Romans 8 today. We're going to be in Romans 8 for a few weeks as we approach Easter and beyond. Taking a little break from that. We will not have service tonight, so no Sunday night conversation tonight. We will have it next Sunday night, and we're going to talk about some Easter things. So next Sunday night conversation, if you've ever had questions about what happened, the cross, the 3 days, all the things in between, we will discuss those things next Sunday night. But no service tonight. We will be here this Wednesday, prayer meeting here and in the back with youth. We're going to be stuffing eggs. So if you want to come join in on the fun of stuffing the Easter egg hunt eggs, feel free to come and help us out this Wednesday night at 6.
And stuff more than you eat.
So it's 2 in the egg, 1 for you. That's not reverse. Anybody pull off any April Fool's jokes this week? Practical jokes? Any pranksters in here?
I'm a prankster, but I didn't do
it. You didn't do anything. You did?
Yeah. I have a sister who was born on April Fool's Day.
Oh, she was the ultimate prank, huh?
Yes.
Born on April Fool's Day.
Mark called Marcel and said, the church is on fire. She said, what? He said, April Fool's
Day. Yeah, that's not a good area to step in there. It's kind of hard to trick people in the era we live in now, isn't it? You can do some things, but everyone's skeptical of everything today, right? You don't believe anything you hear until it's proven. You'll ask a couple people. Maybe you'll look it up for yourself. Maybe, hey, can you open this box for me? Like, what's in it? I'll open it when you tell me what's in it. Can you try one of these cookies? They're good. Sure. Who made them? What's in them? Anytime we receive a gift, not on a holiday, not on a birthday, you're like, well, what'd you do wrong? What are you wanting? What's going on here? That's just our mindset. It's who we are.
Flowers.
Flowers. Yeah. Whenever you get flowers, you're starting to look around the house. What's missing? What's been destroyed? Today we're going to talk about a gift that no one deserved, but everyone needs, and the world around is skeptical, right? Does not believe. The gift is the Son of God. This gift is salvation. We're going to start an Easter series today, walking through Romans 8. And we're going to see 4 gifts offered to us by the cross of Christ. That's what we're going to do the next 4 weeks. 4 gifts offered by the cross of Christ. There's many other offerings from his sacrifice, but we're going to focus in on the 4 as the relay to us from Romans 8. Today, the cross offers life. That's what we're going to look at today. The cross offers life in 3 parts. The spirit of life, sin in the flesh, and Jesus took care of both. 3 parts this morning. Romans 8, 1 through 11. Let's stand as we read God's word together. Verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for this gathering. We thank You for this online capacity we have. Father, be with us now as we dive into the Word together. Help us be touched by it, changed by it, and help us carry it along our way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
So we're taking a break from our study of Acts to zoom in here on the cross for a few weeks. Easter's right around the corner, and it begs us as Christians to do some reflection on our Savior and His sacrifice. We're going to do so over the next 4 weeks by looking at Romans 8 here. We're going to make our way toward Paul and his march with the gospel in the world in our study in Acts when we get back. That's right around the corner. We get back in Acts. We're going to see Paul kind of take off. It is this Paul that's used to change the world here, and it's this Paul who writes Romans. It's his letter to the church in Rome, and it points everyone toward their sin and their fallenness. It points everyone toward their inability to save themselves, and then reveals their Savior. Everyone destined for hell until Jesus offered another way. This brings us to Romans 8. We could spend months just on Romans 8. It's chock full of the majesty that is our Creator and Savior, and it points us directly at the cross and the empty tomb. We're going to do it in four sections, and we're going to start today with this idea of life. The cross gives life. Let's begin. The Spirit of life here. Really, all of Romans 8 here, it's just an answer or a justification to the statement given to us in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God for that. You hear those words, beautiful words. They point us back to Romans 7. You can look at verse 24, 25. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. They also point us forward. The rest of our section today will address those words. The first will have this Spirit of life. Feel free to check the map here. Our 11 verses today have 11 mentions of this Spirit of life and another 10 mentions of the flesh, which we'll get to in a moment. That seems to say, pay attention. This repetitive nature. This is important. We need to pay attention here. First, we do have a concept here of the law. There's lots of mentions of the law here. It can seem confusing. What it means is there is a law of the Spirit of life and there is a law of sin and death. Meaning it is set in stone. These two things are constants. It also talks about the law weakened by flesh, meaning the law required being upheld perfectly. That's what the law required of God. It needed to be held perfectly, and we could not do it. Amen. It is why we needed Jesus. The law's true purpose is to point us to a need for a Savior. We cannot do it. I think of gravity here. We can try to defy it. We see athletes seem to defy it, but gravity always wins in the end. It's always constant. Same with these laws mentioned. Spirit of life or sin and death. It will be one or the other. They are constant. What does our text mean by spirit of life? Well, it says we are freed by it. It says we live by it and set our minds upon it. But what is it? If we're to do these things, then we must know what it is. Though, we already know what it is. As Christians, we know it is our foundation. Our life is found in no other place than our Savior. Life offered from no other place when we're speaking of eternity. Romans 5, verse 10 says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life." Romans 6, 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So when is the Spirit get involved here? Well, John 6:63 said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all." So there's our spirit and flesh at odds there. "The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." John 14:6, Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the spirit of life is one that we can see from our text today, and those verses I just read is entangled within the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You cannot have one without the other. They are entangled together, they're all separate, and they're all one and the same, and the believer is also entangled in it, and it is everlasting and life-changing. This spirit of life is what Paul points to here when he says, "There is now no more condemnation." So what does this look like? Anybody in here like dim lighting? Not really, right? It's the first thing I did when I moved to Louisville and we moved to the apartments is I switched out all the bulbs they had in there, and you had to have sunglasses when you walked into our apartment. Everything's so bright. Tim's done this back here in the hallways. We've got new, nice looking bright lights. Maybe you like it darker at night. Maybe you like it a little dimmer while you're reading or watching TV. Maybe bright lights hurt your eyes. That can happen from time to time. How about down some strange alley in some strange part of town? Maybe you're in some big city somewhere. You're in an alley between two streets. Part of town unknown to you. Your car's parked on the other side and you're walking through. Do you like dim lighting now? Probably not. You want the brightest lights you've ever seen, right? You want a suntan as you walk through that alley. That's how bright you want it. That's what we're talking about when we say spirit of life within you. The brightest light you have ever seen has been flipped on and there is no off switch. The question is, do you have this spirit of life? Has your life been changed by it? A Saul to Paul kind of change. A thief on the cross kind of change. A dead in your sins no more kind of change. Does this exist in you? Well, look to the cross. Look to that empty tomb. It was for you as a payment and gifted to you regardless of who you are. Regardless of where you are in your life right now. You're not perfect. You're not somehow earning it. It was a gift, and it was given by your Savior, and you have it if you believe. Do you believe? It's not, do you do all things right? It's not, do you ever sin? It's, do you believe, and is this belief changing you? Is your life still dark like that alley, or has it been lit up by the light of the world? This is the spirit of life, and it must be present to be saved. Hear those words. That's what this entire text says. It must be present to be saved. Is it? Is it? Well, there's a big word here in our text. And this big word comes in a small package today. It's the word if. Let's talk about if. Sin in the flesh. Life is what we dwell on, think on, live by, are freed by, if we are in Christ. There's the if. It's in our verse 9 and following this morning. Verse 9 says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you." Amen. This is the other side of our coin this morning. There is always two sides. Our sides today are spirit and life, or flesh and death. What about this flesh? Well, our text says it pulls you from life. It pulls you toward death. It is hostile to God, and it will never submit. It says it cannot. Not a good side of the coin to be on, right? Hostile to God. Now, we know a very famous section of our Bibles that deals with this idea of being in the spirit or of flesh. Galatians 5, right? We know it for its passage on the fruits of the Spirit here. Those qualities revealed to be a part of you, growing within you, if you are in the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We know this passage, but lost without context is what Galatians 5 also states about the flesh, right? Galatians 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. This is the other side of the coin. Hostile to God will not inherit the kingdom. John says these desires are from the world and not your father. And Paul says earlier in Romans, these desires do produce a fruit, but that fruit is death. 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Are we getting the gist of this? Amen. Do we see the importance of what Paul is telling us here? We've been talking about a coin. I think about tossing that coin. You flip a coin. If a coin tosses in sports, it lands on one of two sides, right? Now, some of you just thought, what about the other side? There is a third side to a coin. They got that little thin edge that goes all the way around. I guess it could land on that side. Has anyone ever seen a tossed coin land vertically and stay there? No? You could spin it and use to spin it and make it stay there. So there is technically three sides. What that means is this analogy is not perfect. And it also means if you were thinking about that, even scarier, you think like I do. Because I was thinking about a coin toss this week. And I was like, oh man, there's three sides. It's not 50-50, right? If there's a third side, it might be 0.0001, but there is a third side. Now you're in my mind a little bit. You see what my wife deals with on a daily basis. So, yeah, she's laughing. So, in this instant, two sides, right? Heads or tails, every single time, would you bet your life on one or the other? Probably not. I hope not. Would you place a bet that without being absolutely certain it was going to be on heads or on tails? I venture to guess that you would not. You see, Paul here is telling us that there's two possible destinations for every person who has ever lived. Spirit and life, flesh and death. This is heaven or hell. The one you're leaning into, the one that your life is being lived by, is where you are going. It is which side of the coin you are on. Do you know? Are you sure? I ask because you're betting your eternal life on your answer. And many people walk around in this world today claiming to be ruled by the spirit of life here, but flesh is their master at every turn. Claim that heads is what their life reveals, but tails is what their coin lands on every single time. Do you know? Can you see it? Not that you are perfect, not that sin does not exist for you. Sin exists for everyone. But the Spirit kills its power over you, and this Spirit and your faith in your Savior are tied together. So the question is, do you believe? In the flesh is death, and in the Spirit is life, and you better know which one you stand on. You better know. How can you know your life lived? What you lean into, what you're turning toward or turning from, I can't tell you if the Spirit of God is within you, but your life can tell the world. What does it say? Jesus died so you would know the answer. What does it say? Let's move to our last point here. Jesus took care of both. Spirit of life or flesh and death. Your faith in Jesus on that cross for you is the only difference. It is absolutely the only difference. We need to understand this. There's nothing you have done to go from death to life, hell to heaven. Nothing on your own. No one somehow better than anyone else. No one earning it over someone else. Sinners and sinners saved, which one are you? Look to Jesus. Look at the rest of our text today. Verse 10 says, "But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." That is the difference. He who raised the Son from the dead will move you from death to life. We receive life from the Father in heaven through His Son on the cross and His Spirit within us. I repeat that quite a bit here, but we're missing a piece of the puzzle there, aren't we? It was not only His death, but also His resurrection from the dead. If He only died, then we're offered nothing. If God died for us on that cross but never defeated death, then He was never really God and never really paid ultimately for us. It is John 1. I love John 1 here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You hear that? The Word was with God and was God. It continues. He says, He was in the beginning with God. He just called the Word a He. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Then verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God in the flesh for us, and on that cross for us, and out of that grave for us. This is true no matter who you are or what you're going through, where you have been or where you are right now. Look at our verse 10 today. Although you were dead because of your sins, the Spirit within you offers life. It does not say you are now perfect. It doesn't say everything will go smoothly now. What it does say is that the life you once lived in the flesh is not your life anymore. You will slip and fall in this world because of who you are, because of who the world is. We are all sinners. But you will get back up, not because of who you are, but because of who your Savior was and is, and His Spirit within you. That's the difference. Anyone in here know how to swim? I'm sure there's several hands. People know how to swim. Did you go to lessons, or were the lessons tossed in the pool? Let's see if they can make it to the other side. That was kind of the old school thought, right? Swim or drown, I think I heard that. A lot of us, most of us, could probably swim. If you fell in a pool, you're fully clothed, you fall in, you could get to the other side. It'd be a struggle. Clothes weigh you down, but you could get over there. You struggle to get over there, and then maybe somebody reaches down and helps you out, helps you the rest of the way out, and you get out, and you're like, hey, where were you? How come you didn't jump in after me? You waited for me to get over here. That's a separate conversation. This is not what we're talking about here, though. What we're talking about here is you falling in and sinking like a stone. A stone of flesh surrounded by the world. Then God sent His Son in likeness of flesh. Sent His Son to pay for the sins of this flesh. Then pulled His Son from the grave to seal this payment. We were all once dead, like that sinking stone in the middle of a pool, and now we have been made alive in Him. You see, Jesus offers both the life of salvation that we all need, and He removes the grip of the world upon you. He did both. In His life lived, and in His sacrifice, and in His defeat of death, He did both. Dead in our sins no more is what it tells us. Do we live like this is true? What has us still weighed down? Do we live like this is true for others? Do we share the good news? The cross of Jesus Christ offered life to all who believe. Is this you? Great. Who needs to hear it from you? As we wrap up, let's look back at verse 1, full circle here. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has offered you life through His sacrifice. I want everyone to focus on those words. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He offered you life through His sacrifice. Now ask yourself a question. Does it describe you today? Right now, where you stand in your life, does it describe you? If it does, then rejoice. Praise His holy name for your salvation, for the Son on the cross for you. If it does not, or you are not sure, then believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. This heart-changing and everlasting joy that is the Spirit of life will be yours today. Jesus offered life at His death. And this life cannot be taken from you if it is yours. If the Spirit dwells within you. Is this life yours today? Ask the question. Is it yours? Bring anything else at all as we sing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this day. We thank You for this morning together. We thank You for Your holy word. Father, help us lean into this word as our Spirit of life. Help us lean into it to reveal to us what has us weighed down. What has us turning to the world? Father, help us lean into Your holy word as a guide for our life to repent, and to turn and to see Jesus for who He is for us. Our Savior and our Sustainer. Our Creator of everything. The One who holds us together. Father, help us leave this place today determined to spread this message of Your love for all. This message that life comes from nowhere else but Your Son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.